Welcome to the Deep Dive. Just a quick note before we start, the voices you're hearing today, including mine, they're actually AI-derived. They're based on source material uploaded by WorldPop. And it's important to know that every word in this deep dive has been really carefully edited, checked, and validated by the experts at WorldPop themselves. Okay, so let's get into it. Today, we're unpacking the release statement for WorldPop's new global 2015-2030 gridded population datasets, which they're calling Global 2. Our mission, really, is to figure out what makes these new datasets such a significant leap forward compared to what came before.
Yeah, it's quite exciting. What we're talking about here are these open-access, high-resolution, gridded population datasets, and they cover 242 countries, which is, you know, pretty comprehensive. They give age and sex-structured annual estimates stretching from 2015 right out to 2030. But the real story, I think, is in the improvements. They're calling them marked improvements compared to the older 2018 datasets, the ones that covered roughly 2000 to 2020.
Right. So those older datasets were already pretty useful, right? What were the lingering challenges or the gaps that Global 2 really aims to fix? What's actually better for the user?
That's a good question. One of the biggest things, maybe the most fundamental, is using the very latest census data. We're talking the circa 2020 round of censuses. Mm-hmm. And it's not just like plugging in new numbers. It means that the foundation is much more current. Think about rapidly changing areas.
Uh-huh.
This data reflects that recent reality much better. It avoids using potentially outdated information for planning.
Okay, so a much stronger, more up-to-date baseline. That totally makes sense. What about the way they actually map out where people are distributed, the sort of spatial side of things?
Right, that's seen some really interesting advances too. Global 2 uses an updated and actually expanded geospatial covariate library. These covariates are things like, you know, proximity to roads, elevation, land cover, nighttime lights, environmental clues that help predict population density. They've got more of them now, and they're better. Plus, a new and improved inland water mask. Sounds technical, maybe?
Cool, yeah.
But it's crucial for getting the land area right. Basically, making sure you're not putting people in lakes or reservoirs by mistake, it refines the boundaries.
Got it. Sharper boundaries, more environmental clues, leads to a more accurate picture on the ground. And how does this connect to like the bigger global picture, the overall population trends?
Yeah, good point. They've improved how they project the population numbers forward and also the age and sex breakdowns. And really importantly, the national population totals are now aligned with the latest UN estimates.
Yeah.
Specifically, the 2024 revision of the world population prospects. This alignment is key. It means the granular detail from WorldPop matches up with those widely used global figures from the UN, so you get consistency.
That UN alignment sounds critical for anyone working internationally. Makes sense. But, okay, let's talk about maybe the most visual change, the settlement mapping. How's that improved?
This is a really big one, I think. The settlement mapping and the way they model growth now actually incorporates building footprints.
Building footprints, like actual outlines of buildings?
Exactly. Mapped from high-resolution satellite imagery. They're using data sets like Google Open Buildings and Microsoft Building Footprints.
Wow.
So instead of just estimating settlement extents, it's getting much closer to where buildings and therefore people actually are. The level of detail is just way higher.
That feels like a fundamental shift.
Mm.
Moving from inferred settlements to like observed structures on the ground, that's huge. What about tracking change over time? Populations aren't static, right?
Precisely. And there's a significant change in how they handle that temporal aspect. It's designed for better year-on-year consistency. So rather than basically recalculating the entire population distribution from scratch each year,
uh-huh.
Global 2 works differently. It disaggregates the difference in population between the target year and the year before it. Think of it like layering the change onto the previous year's map.
Okay, so you're adding, you're subtracting based on the change, not remapping everyone.
Exactly. It leads to a more robust and temporally consistent data set. It smooths out potential artificial jumps between years. They also brought in a historical high-resolution settlement mask from the World Settlement Footprint product to help interpolate population changes more accurately between the time points we have solid data for.
Right. So bringing this all together for you listening,
yeah.
These aren't just, minor technical tweaks. They really translate into population data that's more accurate, more reliable, and much more detailed. Whether you're doing research, making policy, planning infrastructure, these improvements really open up new possibilities.
Yeah, definitely. Although it's always worth remembering, the input data quality can still vary a bit from country to country. So, Standard caveats apply. Users should still be mindful of context. And one other technical point. If you're comparing directly with the old Global 1 data, just be aware that Global 2 uses a new master grid. So a direct cell-by-cell comparison isn't straightforward. It might need some careful handling due to that grid misalignment.
Good practical points. But ultimately, these advancements in Global 2 give us a much more granular, more dynamic view of our world and how it's changing. If you work with population data, understanding these improvements is really key to using the best available information. And maybe a final thought to leave you with, just consider the real-world impact. How could having population data at 100-meter resolution, refined with actual building footprints, and aligned with the latest UN projections, how could that really empower decisions? Think about humanitarian aid or urban planning or managing resources. How could that level of detail change things in ways the older datasets just couldn't? What new insights might you uncover?